Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Wednesday.
It's weird when you say that when we're recording on Wednesday, but these come out on Monday.
I know.
It's like an inside joke, or is it? It's a peek behind the curtain. That's what we call that. Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably say Mini Crush Monday because that sounds better anyway. But who knows?
Have the alliteration going for it.
That's true. And I am not at all organized. We just started recording, and Noel and I just did like 4 bong hits each.
It was 1.5 total. Between us, it was 3.
I wonder if people do that now in states where marijuana is legal.
I'm not sure, man. I don't know.
Bring their bong to work.
Well, you know, I don't know if I should tell this. At the LA offices that we have, they have a How Stuff Works bong.
What? There.
Yeah. It's on the Daily Zeitgeist page.
No way.
Uh-huh.
It's branded?
I mean,
it's just in the office?
No, it's like it's at least got the Daily Zeitgeist logo on it. Somebody told me that it had the,
wow.
It maybe had the, you know, How Stuff Works logo on it as well.
Man, good for them. Let's leak out there. It's fine.
Absolutely.
It's not against the law, people in California. All right. Oh, I just noticed someone on the Movie Crushers page. Let's go ahead and just start with a random call out. Mark Nowak just said, I've never noticed how much Noel looks like a younger Chuck.
You've heard that before.
I mean, we look more like each other than I look like, you know.
Except
Josh.
I have a problem with this idea that every heavyset dude with a beard and like a certain hair color or hair, you know, style looks
sure.
the same as every other one. Because there were years where I either got Jack Black or Zach Galifianakis, depending on what movie was out at the time. And I'm sure you've been there, Chuck.
I got Jack Black a lot back in the day when I lived in L.A. because at one point I had my hair kind of long and shaggy. And then... let me see who. Oh, well, of course, Kevin Smith, which always just bugged the shit out of me.
Oh, I've got that one too. Yeah. Or they would call me Lunchbox, like, which is, I guess, the nickname for Silent Bob. Lunchbox. That's what they call him in the movie. That's what Jay calls him.
Okay.
Jay is kind of a dick. He's fat shaming.
Well, Jay is one to do whatever he wants.
That's exactly right.
All right. So I got active on the Facebook page last night, everyone, and left this stuff up overnight for a change. So we have way more responses for some of this stuff than we need. So I'll read as many as we can, and maybe if it feels right, I'll print it out and we can read all of them over time like I sometimes do. So, Noel, let's start. I think we started with a social studies this week.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
And I posed this question because, frankly, I wanted some recommendations. So this is selfish. One of my favorite genre of movies is political thriller.
Like The Pelican Brief?
Yeah,
but all of them are based on John Grisham books?
Yeah, I've never seen Pelican Brief, though.
What about, The Firm?
I did see The Firm.
Is that considered? That's not really – these are more legal thrillers that I'm thinking
of. Yeah.
You're thinking more of like A Few Good Men maybe? Or
Yeah, sure. Like, yeah. I would lump in obviously things like All the President's Men and stuff like that, but I would broaden that category.
Or like Manchurian Candidate. Or
legal thrillers.
There
sure.
we go. So Grisham is That's included fine. In this bubble.
I'm sure, and I already see people on this question are saying things like Star Wars Episode 1. It's not what I'm talking about. America.
That's thinking deeper about it, though. Star Wars, there's a political system in place in the Star Wars universe.
No, you know? I get it. Trust me. But this is not a thread to argue what's a political thriller. I just want some good recs. And we'll start, because he played by the rules, with Brad Honey, All the President's Men. It's exactly what I was thinking. Great movie. Adrian Melendez says, Charlie Wilson's War. I never saw that. Did you?
I see it popping up a lot on the lists and on the group, but I have not. I know that Tom Hanks is in it and plays some sort of politician yeah. named Charlie Wilson.
He is
going to hazard a guess.
Melinda Bacalao.
That's tough, dude. You're going to have to give that one another go.
It's actually Bacalao.
There you go.
Or Bacalao. She says, did the Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games count? I will put those on the fringe. Like Cold War movies, sure.
Okay. Interesting. Because I would totally, I didn't know what Patriot Games is about, but I just in my head assume that is a political thriller because that seems squarely in the Grisham. Clancy is who I'm thinking of. He's the other writer
sure.
that writes all the
yeah,
political thrillers.
Yeah, he's Hunt for Red October, I think.
There you go. Yeah.
All that, is he Jack Ryan? All that stuff?
Jack Reacher?
No, not Jack
Different.
Reacher.
Different. Okay.
I haven't seen those movies. I heard those are good.
The first one, when Werner Herzog is the villain's pretty great.
What?
Yeah, he's just doing like peak Werner Herzog.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's the sequel.
All right, I'm going to watch that in an hour and a half. Kristen Bitsaguy, our buddy, says The Constant Gardener and The Pelican Brief. And also Mississippi Burning. All right.
I thought you were going to say Mrs. Doubtfire for a second. I don't know why.
Jonathan Cooley says The Contender with Joan Allen. That is a good movie. I totally agree. Andy McClenahan says The American President. Never saw that. Michael Douglas?
Nope.
As the President.
Mm-mm.
I think that's sort of a rom-com. I wouldn't call that a political thriller.
Really?
Yeah. I think
what's it called again?
The American President, and I think the heart of the storyline is
his a love story.
Romance,
that's
yeah.
Right. With, this does ring a bell.
Annette Bening. Bridge of Spies from Brandon Favory. That's one that got past me. I need to check that out. The Spielberg movie. Zach Pointer says A Few Good Men with our old friend Kevin Pollak, of course. Election, Sophia Fernandez, does that count? Is she talking about the Reese Witherspoon, Matthew
Broderick
comedy? Yeah,
no, that definitely counts.
As a political thriller?
Well, I mean, it's a satire, but it absolutely is satirizing the political system and then involves kind of like—
But it's not a thriller.
It gets a little crazy. Does it get a little stalky at some point in that movie?
Why does no one understand this question?
I think it's a wonderful question. It's just, you know, very open-ended, which is it's a good thing.
No, you're right. I get that. Allison Gallagher, our old pal, and thank you, Allison, for the coffee mug that you sent. Enemy of the State. Pretty good movie.
The funny thing is a lot of these just run together for me, and I can't, because they're a lot of them are from, like, you know, 20 years ago, I guess, and I maybe saw them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't remember much about, like, I don't know what Patriot Games is about. I'm confusing it with, like, Air Force One in my head, where Harrison Ford played the president.
Yeah,
you know?
But he was sort of just the president, Jack Ryan the president, sort of, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh.
I mean, it wasn't, but it might as well have been.
I see.
It was the same kind of character. It was Harrison Ford grimacing and shouting occasionally.
He's great at that.
He is. I'm going to go ahead and go and apologize to the first gentleman who said Captain America, Winter Soldier, because William Angus and a couple of other people have mentioned it. It is a political thriller, just a Marvel version of that.
That one in particular, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it was a lot of wartime stuff and intrigue and backroom deals and stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Celeste. Kanagaiter, great name. Argo, very good movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Argo. Let me just go through a couple of more of these. Manchurian Candidate from Jason DeLong. Another Pelican Brief vote from Zach Lowe. Lisa Romano, Being There. Yeah, not a political thriller, but definitely a movie with some politics in it.
Yeah, there wasn't much thriller in that. It was more just a political stuff happens, weird kind of psychedelic movie where,
yeah,
the magic dude played by Peter Sellers.
Hutch Allen says The Ides of March. I have not seen that yet. Munich, yes. Corey Mull, love that movie. Did you ever see Munich?
Mm-mm.
Boy, that's a
good
one.
That was a Spielberg, though, right? Wasn't that like a latter-day Spielberg?
Yeah, it's a good one. 13 Days, underrated film, says Kevin Herbon. Another Winter Soldier vote from Matt Kramer. The Bourne Identity, Trent Moore. Yeah, I'll go there. Sure, why not?
The first one?
Political thriller.
And then it was The Supremacy. They just kept changing the second word.
I can't keep them all straight.
I think that's how they do.
Zero Dark Thirty. Boy, I love that movie. David Gobert. I'm not sure if that counts as a political thriller.
So that's the thing, though, Chuck. What makes it a thriller, dude? Does it have to have some sort of, like, evil overlord pulling the strings? Or, like,
there's so much crossover between, like, I would
or
consider—
Or a heist of some kind?
Or, well, like, Zero Dark Thirty, it's not a war movie, or is it?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're kind of, like, it's more spy stuff than it is, like, battlefield stuff. So that, to me, I think of intrigue, you know, whereas a war movie, it's more just, like, on the ground, suffering people out in the action, you know, so.
Well, our friends at Friendly Fire podcast that we just recently released, their Platoon special, they definitely get into a lot of debates about what constitutes a war movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have people on our very own page with a poll section that said— A few people said Apocalypse Now is not a Vietnam War movie.
Well, that's absurd. I mean, it obviously
is.
Yeah,
it's not. It doesn't show ground battles, but it's about a during the war in Vietnam, a group of American soldiers and one particular going to get a rogue American officer.
That's right.
In Vietnam, during Vietnam. So it's a Vietnam War movie. It's just not about the battle of whatever.
I agree, but based on the way you just described it, it's more of a political thriller, Chuck.
Damn you, everybody. All right, I'm moving on from that one. But everyone there 200 plus recommendations now. So
yeah, check it out on the Movie Crushers. You can join it. I think all you have to do is say Chuck's name, and then you'll be a member.
That's right. Actually, this is on the Movie Crush page.
Oh,
and
my
not
bad.
Movie Crushers, my but bad. I am going to do something a little different this week. And for Trope Time, which is right now, I noticed that the Movie Crushers were posting tropes in a thread. So I'm just going to go on over there and read straight from the horse's mouth.
That's not what you've been reading from this whole time?
No.
It's
I will usually ask for tropes on the Movie Crush page. This is our buddy Jill Hurley.
Yeah.
Just has a tropes thread.
She pinned it. So it's just gathering tropes.
Yeah, there's like 262 tropes, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So Movie Crushers, thanks for your activity. Let's get it going with Amanda Wright. Action a movie climax. You sure you want to do this? What choice do we have?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and that can involve several situations. One of them could be they're cutting a wire on a bomb or something, you know, and then it's like the tension over, are you sure that's the one you want to cut?
Right.
Yes, definitely is. Or maybe they switch it up at the last minute and cut the other one.
Sure. There's literally never been a bomb diffusing scene.
Right.
Where there wasn't a sweaty moment over a wire cutter.
Yeah.
And a wire cutter.
That's great.
I love it. William Angus says, women in Jeopardy. And then he has a bit of a paragraph after that. But just say women in Jeopardy because that's all you need to know. That's a total trope.
Well, the trope, I think they actually use the word peril and they call them whips. And it's like a
woman
in
peril.
Yeah. That's just like a tried and true.
Who calls them that? Like Daryl Zanuck?
Movie people, Chuck.
Oh, from like the 30s? Or
I guess so.
That?
I think it's just like a screen. Or I don't know. I've always just heard it as like whips. Like for me, I guess I think of like
a meat cute. I think
of, yeah,
stuff.
Or I think of like schlocky kind of B movies, you know, where like that were kind of exploitation movies involving women, you know, where it's kind of the damsel in distress, probably a little overplayed. But that's, maybe it's an outdated term. I don't know.
I'm sure it is. Brad Honey says, he's very active here. Thanks, Brad. Establishing that someone is a bad guy by having him kick a dog. I don't know if I've ever seen that. Have you?
I mean, maybe not kick, but definitely kill.
Just be mean. Well, for sure.
Well, I mean, there's just been a handful. You know, that's definitely a trope where you see someone's come home and the dog is dead and you know the crazy person's in the house.
So unnecessary.
Yeah.
Don't do that, people. Joe Kimber, this is a good one. Says someone calls and says, turn on the news, and they change the channel and you see like the whole story from the beginning. That's a really good one. That happens all the time. Good one, Joe. Sean McDonald, every movie trailer that has a slowing down, powering down sound. Yeah, that's a overused sound effect for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's effective. You know, you're talking about like some kind of time machine or some kind of like device or a spaceship,
so.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they got to get those sound design guys to do something cool.
Yeah. Austin Debsky says, does Chuck know about this group? So I thought I'd read that, Austin. That's funny. Let me see. Chris Sweeney in war movies, when the man gets his papers to go home, or he's just gotten news that his wife had a kid, equals death sentence. Yeah, for sure. Megan Daly, character, walks into an auction and waves to someone accidentally bidding on a super expensive item. That's good. I'm not sure if that's full trope level. But that's probably been done more than once. That's a good one. It's funny.
Absolutely.
But what? I don't want a yacht. I think that actually happened on Friends. Joey bought something, a boat, I believe, by accident.
And then he was surprised or just regretted his decision?
I don't know. Or maybe he bought it on purpose and regretted it. Or maybe he didn't know he had to pay for it. I don't know. Joey was a dumb.
Because he's stupid. That's sort of that's the joke about Joey.
Kevin Herbon again says, badass says, hey, expert in your field, how much time do you need to solve this problem? Expert, 6 hours. Badass, you've got 3.
Yeah, it's like pop quiz hotshot from Speed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the quintessential, that thing that you just described, the whole relationship between Dennis Hopper's character as the mad bomber and Keanu Reeves is trying to solve his,
I think they were kind of poking at that trope a little bit.
Oh, I guess that was one of the first ones where it was a little tongue-in-cheek, right?
Yeah, because
that was in the era of a little bit more self-awareness around that kind of stuff in Hollywood.
They even had the baby. They pulled out all the stops. They had the baby carriage scene, which
is
a total trope, and I think it was like 10 cans or something.
Yeah,
remember. Aluminum cans.
That's funny. I actually rewatched the beginning of Speed recently for just the very first.
That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's good.
I enjoyed it.
Is that like Jerry Bruckheimer?
No, that was that Jan de Bont?
It was indeed Jan de Bont.
Ah.
Of Twister, and I believe, what else? Did he do it, one of the bad Batman movies, or was that all Joel Schumacher? I'm confusing
the
two.
Well, he was a DP for many years, and may have been a DP for Joel Schumacher on some stuff, and then he eventually was a director. What's he been doing lately?
I'm looking right now.
Anything?
He's been laughing boisterously, if his IMDb picture is any indication.
Good for him.
Oh, he did, he's produced a lot of stuff, it looks like. A lot of, like, big stuff, like Minority Report and The Haunting. But as far as directing, oh, he's a lot of cinematography credits. Wow. five directing credits. Oh, he did a Tomb Raider movie in 2003. That's the last thing he did. And it directed. Wasn't even like the Tomb Raider movie. It was like
The
Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life.
We should have a new show just called Noel and Chuck Poke Around IMDb.
I mean, that's kind of what the show is, right? Oh, no, we're poking around IMDb and the Facebook groups, so we're poking around places.
All right, back to some tropes here. Mary Sheehan says, a body falling out of a closet and the obligatory screaming woman. Yeah, that's a good one. Leah Bush says, you got heart, kid. Yeah, something.
Surely that was only said one time in a single movie. And everyone just assumes it's been said in every other movie.
Well, and she may even mean the spirit of that line.
An equivalent. I got you. Yeah.
Or at least that's, I'm going to go ahead and speak for Leah.
It's like a relationship between a mentor and like a student. It happens at the end of like a montage training sequence or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Bill Steele says, the foot chase through a busy kitchen.
Oh, don't know. Yeah. Yes.
And always the guy spinning with the tray.
Ah, pots and pans is everywhere. And you know, it's always like a run and gun, like super, because it's a tight space.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it'll involve, if there's like a fight that ensues, someone will get grease thrown on them boiling hot water or possibly a hand on the griddle or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Do you know what I want to see is the scene they run through and wreck the kitchen and then it just shows their chase. I want to see a kitchen scene for 5 minutes after where they're like,
a bunch of guys going,
me, man, soup everywhere. It'd make a great movie.
Can you imagine the pandemonium in the dining room with all the, you know, the guests like, where's my food? What's, did you ever see that Curb Your Enthusiasm where there was a disturbance in the kitchen? That was like a joke that kept coming up.
Oh, no, I don't think
Larry
so.
Larry kept not getting his food and the manager would say, I'm sorry, there was a disturbance in the kitchen. And that's all I could think about was the idea of that foot chase through the kitchen. That's how the manager would communicate that to the diners.
And let me guess, it did not satisfy Larry.
No, of course not. He went back and inquired further about it and, you know, got into a fight with the chef.
That's funny.
Yeah, of course.
Travis Chemain says, guy sees Dream Girl, instant slow-mo shot.
Well, that's the Fast Times thing, right? What's her name?
Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, that's a classic
that's
scene.
Slow-mo.
Yep. Kristen Johnson says, rooftop chases, including being able to jump from one rooftop to the other without any problem.
Yeah. And maybe you get like a cliffhanger where they don't quite make it. Or they end up holding on and having to pull themselves up just to keep the tension going?
Well, the Cruise, you know, does many of his own stunts. And in this new Mission Impossible movie, he does – there's, of course, a rooftop chase. And he jumps and clearly in the movie he comes up a little short. And in real life that happened and he busted the shit out of his ankle
on
the
that.
Side of the building. Mm-hmm. Like I saw a video that sort of detailed that.
Oof.
But they used that shot in the movie because it's real.
Why Tom Cruise? Why do that?
What do you have to prove?
Is it that much more believable or like, you know, enjoyable to the audience than with a stunt double?
Yeah.
You really think so?
I gotta say,
because there's
man,
no cutaways maybe?
I think there's a special – that's one of the special things for me with those Mission Impossible movies is when I see Tom Cruise hanging from a helicopter, I know he's hanging from a helicopter. He's rigged up to the – you know, from here to Sunday.
Sure.
Of course, but it's – I don't know. It makes a difference. It's not CG. It's not some weird guy with a bad wig.
Do you think it's the Scientology that gives him all that courage?
All that power, no. 100%. We got to get some of that Scientology power.
It's going to cost you, bro.
All right. Let's do two more. Ash Glover says, great hair, Ash, by the way. The check the fridge for food moment. You find Chinese. What do?
You eat it?
No, you smell it.
Oh, you smell it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Every time you make a gross face, shrug, and eat it anyway.
That's a very 80s kind of thing,
that's
though,
very
I think.
Specific, Ash.
Well,
that's a good one,
I can picture it now, but I can't tell you where. But I'm sure that's what makes it a trope, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's just in the zeitgeist.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, who did that? 30% of movies.
I'm going to Google sniffing Chinese food.
Ooh, that might take you somewhere weird. Steve Jones, finally, We're going to finish up with Steve Joves. Oh, yeah, Joves. Excuse me, not Jones. He says, takeout food is always Chinese food, another Chinese food one, eaten out of the carton with chopsticks.
Well, because it's a very visible thing, right? And yeah. from your perspective, I guess, working on it, it's probably like they can get a shit ton of those in like props or whatever. And just
yeah,
have
it's
just,
very easy.
You know,
they probably have always have them sitting around the prop truck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need food? All right. I got it covered. All right. So that's Trope Time, everyone. And I'm glad to see this Movie Crushers thread because there are a ton of them. And we'll just keep this one going. We are not going to do stream this week because I feel like I haven't watched anything lately. Have you that you want to talk about?
I've been watching a lot of Frasier.
Okay.
sure. And it kind of holds up.
Did you not watch it back then?
No, I never watched it. I enjoy it. I put it on when I go to sleep. And so I watch. I kind of know what's going on,
yeah.
but like I don't backtrack. There's so many of them
right.
that I'll watch like two, and then the third one will come on, or it'll play all night, and
yeah.
then I'll be like four behind, but I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of missing whole gaps in, you know, the exploits of Frasier and Niles.
That's
and,
okay though.
You know, Daphne, that whole
yeah,
shit
Shama
show
Hardy,
romance.
R.I.P.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff though. I enjoy it.
I think they're rebooting that show is what I heard.
I did hear that.
Yeah. Interesting. I watched Frasier some. It wasn't like I enjoyed it, but it wasn't one of the shows that like I watched all the episodes.
I think I just like it because it's relatively even and kind of calming.
Sure.
It's good. It's sort of like Bob Ross, you know?
Yeah, man, that apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sitting around the recliner. That's
yeah.
about all they do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you relate too with the sound studios and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I do. You know what? Maybe I see a little of Dr. Frasier Crane in myself, Chuck.
You're my Roz. Or wait, I would be your Roz.
So Roz is his producer, but were they married at some point? Or is that not a thing? Am I?
I think, no. I
okay.
think.
The unrequited kind of like, maybe like, do they get together eventually?
Did they even have sexual tension?
No. There was one conversation, I remember, where he says he wished Roz had been attracted to him or something like that. But it may have just been a little tossed off psychobabble moment, kind of, you know? I don't know.
Interesting. All right, we're going to end with questions in our comment card section, everybody. I asked for questions, and you provided in spades. And again, I think I might just print these out, or not print them out, but just save this thread and keep going with it. All right, we're going to do five questions. First one is from Rebecca Rube, and Rebecca is the best. She is very active on the page, and we park our cars in the same garage taste-wise, and she's gotten my back against
the hordes, the internet hordes.
Now, everyone's usually pretty nice, but there have been a couple of people that were a little snippy, and Rebecca always comes in there and sweeps up.
Right on.
Which is nice.
That's good. Rex shop, as they say.
I like having a little pit bull at my side. So thanks, Rebecca. She says, a technology apocalypse has occurred. The new world – oh, I love these questions. The new world has either only movie theaters and no TVs or personal viewing devices, or – there are no theaters and only home TVs. Which world would you rather survive in? And I'm assuming, Rebecca, in this case, you mean the theaters still work as theaters. So to watch anything, you would have to go to a theater and pay money and get in and watch a thing.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, why would you not choose that if you could have both, right?
Right.
Because isn't the second option that you only can watch at home, but there's no more theatrical screenings or viewings that we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think technology apocalypse is the key word. I was thinking just apocalypse, and there are like these bombed out movie theaters.
So there's this like very specific apocalypse that only destroys TVs
yes.
or only destroys movie
it's
theaters.
It's a thought experiment.
I like it. No, I'm into it.
So I would for sure pick I would hate to say it, but I would sure say no movie theaters and TVs because – you could get a giant TV and set up a nice home theater system.
Yeah, and surely it's dangerous to go outside, Chuck. I mean, it's like you're going to brave the Mad Max like streets to go to the fucking movie theater to see
yeah.
some second run like thing. I mean, what media is still around? I have a lot of questions.
Well,
I have
sure.
a lot of questions, but yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. I'd, you know. And are we talking about like a future where we got full wall TVs maybe, like where they – like in 1984 or
maybe.
Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah, so no. Who needs a movie theater?
Mm-hmm.
I like the question though. I get it. All right. Don Barnhart says, popcorn, : acceptable in movie theaters during all movies or just popcorn movie genres? She said, the reason she asked is I received a hard disapproving stare for quietly eating, not even chomping popcorn. while watching Melancholia in the theater.
Well, of course you're going to get looks at that kind of movie.
That's funny.
No, that's really funny.
Initially, my thought was, that's absurd. You should be able to eat popcorn anytime.
Same here.
Now I'm thinking about Melancholia and someone eating popcorn next to me.
Yeah.
That might be a little distracting.
Did I tell you I got yelled at for, like, looking at my phone before the movie had even started when I went to, like, an art house screening here in Atlanta? A fantastic Tarkovsky movie called Stalker. And it was packed. It was, like, really, I was surprised. And, like, the movie was just starting, and I had, like, lost the pal that I was with, and I was just checking to see if they were here or not. And I pulled out my phone for 1 second, and the guy next to me, like, looked at me, and they...
Before the movie started.
The lights had just gone down. I was checking it instantaneously.
You're on the fringe, though.
I was on the fringe, yeah. But no, popcorn at really quiet movies. Like, have you seen A Ghost Story?
Oh, not yet.
There are parts of that movie that are just dead quiet.
Yeah.
And like, I could see the... Even like when you're trying to eat quietly...
Yeah,
it's almost worse, you know? I don't know.
You know, Josh is buddies with the producer of A Ghost Story, Toby Hallbricks.
Mm-hmm.
He works with that director, David Lowery, for all his movies.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I met Toby's a nice
very
guy.
Very interesting guy.
And by the way, jumping back to the guy who gave you the look, that may have been a, like, are you going to be a problem, sir? Look.
Yeah, but then I felt like I had to be on my best behavior, like for the whole. And it was a long ass movie too.
It was a bit of a preemptive strike.
It really
part.
Was. I thought he, you know, give me a little credit, man. I'm trying to get it in. I had just sat down, but it was funny though when I saw The Ghost Story. It was like, this is another pet peeve that's similar. If the movie next to a really quiet art movie is like fucking Transformers 6, and there's all this like bass rumble coming through during these like quiet parts of the movie.
You really hear that sometimes.
That was really bad.
Yeah, I agree. That's no good. I wonder if they take that into consideration.
Well, you would think they did, but like I said, when I saw A Ghost Story, it was Baby Driver that was next door.
Right.
So there's just all kinds of peeling out, squealing music. Sounds and yeah.
All right, question three. This is from Sue Hayden Reams. Chuck, would you ever do a show about your time and career in Hollywood? I think listeners would enjoy that. And Noel, what jobs have you had prior to podcasting? Let me chime in real quick and just say, I kind of feel like I talk about that a lot here and there. So maybe not. But Noel, where did you come from?
Where did I come from? Well,
I'm going to have you on as a guest too, by the way.
Okay, I'll do
so
it.
Maybe... That's a real guest.
Yeah, man. Oh, wow.
So don't get too
honored.
Detailed.
I'm honored. No, I just, I'm the son of the two opera singers and grew up playing violin and went to school for college for like communications and got a job working for public radio and did like NPR type stories for a while and made a documentary for my senior thesis and got into some film festivals and ended up doing this radio thing and kind of getting here kind of via that path, I guess. So it's weird. I'm one of the few people that went to school for communications that sort of works in communications.
See, everyone, that's called a teaser. Save the rest, Noel.
All right, saving it.
All right, let's do – what are we on? Let's do two more. Jay Fraser says, what's your opinion on people who order hot food at the movies? All right, well, that's that was actually going to be a poll question that I didn't do, so I'm glad you asked. And he's saying like – nachos or a burrito or something. But I was thinking more in the terms of the places that actually sell the dinner.
Right. Like Friday's level food.
Yeah, what are they called? Dine-in movie places.
Yeah, well, there's like around this movie tavern around here and some places like that.
Do you
that.
Like those places?
Well, I mean, there's one that I used to go to a reasonable amount because of where it was. And no, because the system's always bad because someone always ends up coming in
after the
bringing
movie.
The food and after the movie starts and there's like the buzzers. There's a whole litany of distractions that can be involved.
I'm with you. I don't love it. Like I've done it before. And if you go early enough and get your meal in, it's fine. But like I don't need to eat chicken wings while I'm watching the first third of a movie.
And do you really want to be sitting next to someone eating chicken wings?
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it's bad. I think that's a solid against it.
Yeah. As far as nachos and the things they sell there.
What about a hot dog? You draw the line. Is that we can?
I don't eat that stuff in the theater, but.
Would you begrudge someone a hot dog at the movie?
No,
Chuck?
No, okay. Of course not.
All right.
Have your hot dog.
We draw the line at chicken fingers, though, or chicken wings.
All right. And finally, Ben McVitie, there's a lot of classic films that were flops when they were released. What unpopular film from the past decade do you hope will one day be regarded as a classic? All right, for that question, I needed to just do a quick search of 10 movie flops this decade. And I see The Spirit. I'm going to say, who cares? Grindhouse. I don't know if that will be regarded as a classic.
Yeah, it was kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah. People do like Death Proof, but I've never quite seen the appeal. I've never watched it more than the time I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. Rollerball. I didn't even know they remade that. That's how little that registered with me. The Invasion, starring Nicole Kidman. No. Catwoman. No. Geely. Oh, Land of the Lost. No. Battlefield Earth.
Well, some of those have come back as like cult favorites.
Maybe Battlefield Earth. Good.
Well, maybe To Hate.
So Bad It's Good.
So Bad It's Good. Yeah.
All right. I guess that's not really an answer.
But I don't think people are watching Battlefield Earth on purpose, though.
All right. Thanks, Ben, for the question. I wish we had a better, more satisfying answer than that. That is it for this week, everybody. Thank you, Noel.
You're welcome, Chuck.
You're welcome, world, from Noel.
I didn't say all that.
All right. So your homework this week, everybody, is to carve out 4 hours of a night. Get in front of the largest TV you can and watch the movie Lawrence of Arabia.
4 hours, huh?
Close to it.
That's asking a lot in these
like
modern times.
220-something minutes.
That's pretty good, though. I've never seen it. I'm such a bad...
I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
It was on my list, and... I told Chris Weitz is my guest, writer, producer, director.
About a boy, right?
Oh, yeah. American Pie is where he got to start.
No way.
Yeah, and then he and his brother, and then he's been doing – that really got a lot of collateral, and he's been doing really interesting things. He was a writer on Rogue One.
Interesting.
He has did About a Boy. He's produced things. He's just – he's great. And he was a very nice guy. So we talked about Lawrence of Arabia. It was really cool to talk to such a big-time director – and had some cool insight. I wish we would have been in person. That was the only bummer. It was a remote recording. But Lawrence of Arabia was awesome. That's your homework for this week. Watch it and enjoy it because it is one of the best movies of all time, for sure.
You think that already, just having seen it the once and talked about it.
I mean, it's regarded as such, and I can easily see why it's a top 10 film.
Pretty strong. Okay. I'm going to do my homework this week, too.
Yeah, very special movie. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.